Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rita Hauck-Lane, your host for this hour. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Thank you for joining me. Today has been a very interesting day for me. I pray that you've had a good one so far. And let's join our thoughts and prayers and motives together to go deeper with Jesus into the different types of challenges and joys of life. I thank the Lord for all of you, and I ask His blessings and comfort to be upon you and our time together. May He bless us abundantly together. Today is the, 43rd anniversary of Our Lady's first appearance in Medjugorje. The seers claim she continues to appear to this day, and as far as I know, she does. I really don't know. As Catholics, we are not required to pay attention to any of these messages unless they are already approved by the Church. Our Lady has been appearing around the world over the last 130 years or so in various places around the world, in different cultures, and for different reasons. And the way the Church handles that is they basically wait until the apparitions, the sightings of Our Lady, stop. Then they gather all the information, and then they determine whether or not it if there's anything within those messages of the different apparitions that goes against Jesus's teaching or anything like that. Because as you well know, the evil one can cloak himself in beauty. So the Church doesn't want to approve anything until the apparitions, its messages have stopped. So they're still, you know, ongoing at Medjugorje. So there's no official decision on Medjugorje yet. Pope Francis looked into it a few years ago, and he said that it appears that the earliest messages of Our Lady at Medjugorje were very spot on. Some of the ones that have happened since then, he's a little leery of, but he has not made any decision. He has not said, you can't listen to those messages. But he does warn that they aren't approved at this point. So, you know, be cautious. But, you know, a lot of the things that have been said there have been very helpful to people. And many pilgrims have gone there and had life-changing events in their lives, including, Jim Wahlberg, who made the Jesus Thirst movie. Anyway, I bring it up because, you know, whether you choose to pay attention to the messages or not, it's up to you. But it's said that Our Lady told Maria, one of the seers, that she wished to have a novena prayed from June 15th of this month until today for world peace. She not only asked for the novena to be prayed, she also changed where she's appearing. She went back to, apparently, this is what I've read, I don't know for sure, but apparently she went back to where she originally appeared to the seers on a hill. And she said, and she also changed the time. Typically she would still appear at 6:40. In the evening, but she changed it to 11:30 at night on the hill. And she apparently is praying with the children, with the seers. They aren't children anymore. But I listened to I watched a video by the priest that runs Medjugorje, that whole area there, and he said it's very significant that she changed the time to 11:30 at night because it's to be taken as a sign of the times. 11:30 is near the end of the day. And so they're interpreting that as she has changed it to 11:30 because we are in some very serious end times. We've been in the end times ever since Jesus walked the earth, because once he, you know, came, the end times started to count down to when, after he was resurrected and comes back again in the end. Those are the end times. They've been going on ever since. But right, there's a certain time when he is going to be coming back, which will be wonderful. But, excuse me, for her to choose that 11:30 time, she also mentioned how serious situations are in the world right now and extra prayers are needed. This is not to frighten us. It is to make us aware that things, you know, things need more prayer right now. And so she's asking us for prayer. So whether you believe in these apparitions or not, really in a way doesn't matter. It never hurts to pray. And every time Our Lady has ever appeared and asked for prayer, it's always been a good thing. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you don't believe in apparitions, you don't believe in Our Lady coming and asking for prayer, then you do your thing. But in my heart, it's if I choose to believe that the world needs more prayer, and if Our Lady is telling someone that and asking for more prayer, I'm going to do it. Because there's nothing wrong with that. There's no harm done in praying. And so that would be, and she was asking for everyone to try to pray at the same time as 11:30 in Medjugorje at night, and that I've been told is 5:30 p.m. in Pennsylvania. So some of us have been praying at 5:30 every day. I don't think it's a bad idea to keep doing that, even though the novena will be over after today. So the rosary. It's so funny, when I was, before I became Catholic, the churches I belonged to would criticize the rosary and say, you know, in scripture it says don't, I don't know the exact words, but don't use empty words and repetitive phrases to pray your prayers. And so they would take the rosary as, you know, a rebellion against that, or as a sin against what Jesus has warned us not to do. But it's just because there's a misunderstanding about the rosary. The rosary is a wonderful, wonderful prayer. It's a meditative prayer. And what we're doing with the rosary is we are focusing on Jesus's life, various events in his life, and his mother are in some of those events. So, of course, she's in some of the events we meditate on. And whenever you focus on the life of Jesus, you grow, wonderful things happen, faith becomes stronger. And if you combine that focusing with a prayer of petition for someone or something, like world peace or your children or something, you are wrapping your children and those intentions and peace and everything in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're wrapping them in Jesus, in a way, in the stories of Jesus, in the life of Jesus, in the promises of Jesus. And so it is a very holy prayer. And when we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Some of that is exact quotes from Scripture. And the rest of it is basically saying, we know that you are a strong prayer. and you're aware of what happens in the world, because people in heaven and people in the next life, whether they're purgatory or heaven, they are aware of what's happening in the world, and they pray for us. So Our Lady, of course, is aware, so she prays for us too. They are not gods. Please, please stop spreading that if that's what you believe, because it's not true. We honor and revere them, but they are not gods, and we do not worship them. And the rosary is a prayer that calms us. It's like putting pennies in the bank, and graces grow from it. So wrap your family members and your kids and your worries and the world events, wrap them in the gospel by praying the rosary. Over the weekend, Kathleen had a retreat at Malvern. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, with Father Joseph Itasam. And it was really, really wonderful. I wasn't able to be there the whole time, but I was there part of the time. And one of the things that we have learned in Scripture, that we have learned through Our Lady's messages and and from Jesus Christ himself, is we don't need to worry about our children. We don't need to worry about these things happening in life, but we do need to pray about them. Because when we pray about them, great graces come from that. And it does make things better. Whatever we're praying for, we'll be better off than if we hadn't prayed. And whatever we're praying against, the evil in the world, will be less evil than if we hadn't prayed. So prayer is powerful, and the rosary is a powerful weapon for good and against evil. So don't worry about your children. Don't worry about them. They have been made, she says, for such a time as this, just like we have been made for such a time as this. Their future is in the Lord's hands, and he loves them. And if we're praying for them, he will step in, and he will help them, along with Our Lady. Our Lady will continue to pray. So she says, wrap our loved ones in the rosary. Well, I agree wholeheartedly. Like I said before, before I was a Catholic, I didn't pray the rosary, and I had prejudice against it, but I pray it all the time now. It calms me. It gives me hope. I know that the Lord is listening to us in a special way when we pray the rosary, because we're focusing on him. We're focusing on him and joining our prayers with Our Lady's prayers. And so, for the world. She's our spiritual mother. Yes, she is. She is. And she knows what she needs and what we need, and that is more prayers for the world. So, just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. I have a question for you. Have you ever been on a faith-based retreat? A day, a weekend, a week, or even just an evening? Have you ever been on a faith-based retreat? It's kind of, in some ways, fallen out of favor since COVID. And it's really sad, because almost all of the most profound answers, healings, and understandings in my life have come when I went away to a quiet place on a retreat. It can be, there are silent retreats, there's prayer retreats, there's subject retreats, there's various types of retreats out there, and some are short, some are long. You know, Malvern has a whole ton of retreats there every year, and it's one of the most beautiful, beautiful holy places I've ever been, and I don't say that lightly. It really is. So I urge you to go on retreat. And, there, you know, search on the web for a Catholic retreat houses near me. You don't even have to be Catholic to go to them. But Catholic retreat houses near me. Or go to malvernretreat.com and look up on their calendars. All of these websites, look on their calendars and see what they're offering. And take a chance and take the time to do it. Because when you go on retreat, you're taking time out. You're going away with the Lord. You're taking out a time out from the hustle and bustle of your everyday life. You're changing your focus. You're opening yourself to hear His voice, to experience Him and others, to learn new things, or to have your faith strengthened and renewed and empowered. I mean, I've been to some retreats where I walked out of the place at the end of the retreat feeling like, you know, I can do anything that the Lord asks me to do. I can do anything because I know He's with me. And He has made promises to me. And the retreat renewed in my mind, in my heart, those promises. Please, please check out a retreat. Take the time to go and to really fully participate in it. Please, please give yourself that, because there's nothing like it. I mean, like in the fall, there's a Philadelphia Women's Catholic Women's Conference, and it's usually at Częstochowa, Our Lady Częstochowa in Doylestown. Wow, unbelievable! It's just a 1-day thing, and it will blow you away. There's things for men too, but it's just there's nothing like it, nothing like it. I'm just telling you. And I'm not the only one that says that. So, you know, give it a try. And if when Kathleen has retreats coming up, go. Kathleen McCarthy. She's the president of In His Sign Network right now. And she has been doing this for years and years and decades. And so, you know, whenever she's having a retreat, go to her retreats. Go to her retreats. Take the time. You will never, ever regret it. And also, this coming weekend at Malvern, the Women of Grace Retreat with Johnette Bankefit Williams, her daughter Thea. All these people will be there and speaking and encouraging. It starts Friday, goes till midday Sunday. You spend the night there, 2 nights there. Last year, it was one of the most profound experiences I've ever had. It was all about suffering, and I'm telling you, there were a lot of people there that were suffering. I mean, seriously suffering, and they were filled with joy on Saturday night. Joy. We were all filled with joy. The joy of the Lord filled us in spite of our suffering. So, and I mean, it stays with you. Stays with you. So I don't think they're full yet for this weekend. So look up malvernretreat.com, Women of Grace, and go if you can. And if you see me there, stop me and let's get to know each other. Okay. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned how today has been a interesting day for me. I work, as I've told you many times before, I work with Mother Teresa's sisters in Chester and sometimes in Norristown. And I help them with, you know, setting up camp. The camp is for the whole month of July, Monday through Thursdays in the afternoons, sometimes Fridays. And I've been having to do some research for them and things like that. And so this morning I started my day off with prayers, of course, and then doing research for the camp. And then I had to go to a funeral today. And it was a bittersweet time. My dear friend Carrie's husband, Dr. Joe Stellabody, only 66 years old, died after a 15-month battle with glioblastoma, brain cancer. There, you know, there's a lot of new treatments, experimental treatments for that very deadly cancer, and some of them have been remarkably well received by the bodies of the people that got the treatment. It didn't work for Dr. Joe, which was very sad for us, but it was, the funeral was interesting. It was beautiful. It was filled with deep sorrow and also deep faith and joy. And so I want to focus on that a little bit, because how can you possibly have joy and hope when someone you love, that you were totally devoted to and shared life with, is gone now? The pain is so intense and so overwhelming at times. Don't really know what to do with yourself at times. But one of the things I know for sure is if you prepare yourself, if you cooperate with the Lord in advance and prepare yourself for when the things in life like that happen, it brings a peace and a hope and an understanding that you won't have if you wait until your world falls apart and then you get on your knees. You know, he's grateful that you come to him no matter when it is. And don't worry about, oh, well, I haven't been praying. I haven't been going to church. I haven't really been, you know, in relationship with Jesus much in the last few years. So I can't pray to him. He doesn't want to hear from me. That's not true. That's not true. Scripture says that heaven rejoices more in one sinner who comes back than all the righteous who don't need to come back. So always, always, always know that he's there with open arms. Always, always know that in your pain and your joys, you can go to him and pour out your heart, and he will listen, and he will love you. He will take you in his arms and love you. I guarantee it. Anyway, Carrie is a member of the Bible study that I lead at my parish, and she's been going there for years. She's a young mother with four children, and she has participated. She has learned about the Lord. She's embraced her faith. She has really, really worked at her prayer life, at getting to know Jesus in Scripture, getting to know him and receive him in the Holy Eucharist. I mean, she's not perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. But these type of things prepare us for the tough times. Okay? And she has been prepared. And it shows. It shows. Doesn't mean that she doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that we don't hurt. You know, it means that we hurt and our hearts are ripped apart and we cry, but we have hope. We have understanding of who Jesus Christ is and why he came. Why did Jesus come? It wasn't just to die and be resurrected. He came to show us the better way. A relationship with him and God the Father and the Holy Spirit united all together, living life today. Pope Benedict wrote a book, What It Means to Be a Christian. Have you ever really asked yourself or done research on what it means to be a Christian? There's a lot of opinions and there's a lot of right answers out there. But we really do need to ask ourselves, are we true Christians? Do we just believe, or do we live our faith? Well, I can tell you the Stellabody family, Dr. Joe, Carrie, and her children, they live the faith. And the rest of their family, most of them that I know, absolutely live their faith. So I'm very grateful to know them. And Carrie is one of the first people that I told about being called to this apostolate here on the radio when I was just so blown away. I couldn't believe that God was asking me to do this. And she was behind me from the very beginning. She encouraged me, I thought, in a little too enthusiastic of a way, but basically because she believed that I could do this, it helped me to take the next steps along with the other friends of mine who stepped up after her. So she has lived the faith. She encourages people. So the rest of the family does too. But I know her more than anyone else in the family. And to face these difficult times that come up in life, and they always do, we can be prepared. We can go along in life and just do what we want to do and hope for the best and, you know, not prepare ourselves. Have a surface level of our faith. Okay? But there's so many graces, so many thrills that one gets if one gives themselves to Jesus Christ for a relationship, not just for salvation, not just to get to heaven, but to have a relationship in the here and now. Okay? You give yourself to Him and say, Lord, teach me, help me to be in relationship with You. Help me to know You, to love You, to understand You. Let's walk life together. When you do that, look out. It's amazing. And when the hard times come, so much easier. So much easier. Come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not talking about in heaven, although that will happen. He's talking about right here, right now. I have to take a break, but I'm going to come back and talk to you some more about grief and the joy that can come in the midst of grief. So please stay with me and hang in there, and I'll be back. God bless.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Rita Halk-Lane, your host for the remainder of this hour. We've been talking about prayer and grief. If you're just joining us, I went to a funeral. A very dear friend's husband passed, and the funeral was today. And I wanted to share with you some thoughts about grief and being prepared in advance for grief and hardships and challenges. So anyway, Carrie's husband, Dr. Joe Stellabody, a doctor, only 66 years young, and what a Christian. I mean, he devoted himself. He was a doctor 24/7, as she said today at the funeral. He was available 24/7 for whoever needed him. He was just a phenomenal doctor. And so it's very hard for us to understand why a doctor who has served others and been an instrument of healing for so many people was not healed and was taken from us. Of all the people in the world, why was it him? Well, that's a good question, and one that's not easily answered. From my own life, during 2020, the COVID year, my mother died in Florida in a hospital without me, because you couldn't go in the hospitals then. She was in the hospital dying without me, and she and I were extremely close. And I couldn't be with her. Finally, the Lord reminded me that she needed to hear my voice on a regular basis. So I would call her, she would call me, and we just loved talking to each other and sharing life together over the phone. So I was able to get the nursing staff to hold the phone up to her ear so she could hear my voice. She was intubated and couldn't talk. And so they told me that whenever she heard my voice, she would perk up, So I knew that that was the next best thing, but it was ripping my heart out. And 2 weeks later, my beloved dog, Sunny, that I'd had, who was basically very healthy up until the last 3 months of his life, he was over 17 years old, and he died, 2 weeks after my mother. I have never cried so hard and hurt so much in my entire life. It was just unbelievable that this was happening. Never in a million years did I imagine that my mother would die without me, or I would die without her, either way. Why do these things happen? Why? We don't know. We don't truly know. The best answer that I've ever been given that has helped me is that this life, we should not view this life as a life that can be perfect or even heavenly. We're on a pilgrimage in this life. And as you well know, if you've ever been on a pilgrimage, it's like a trip. There's ups and downs and good and bad, and it's a very long trip, so a lot of things happen in that trip. So this pilgrimage is, we're on our way seeking heaven. So good and bad happens in this pilgrimage. And I can tell you that my trust in Jesus has deepened significantly only by way of suffering. When we suffer personally, or we suffer emotionally because someone has passed, or whatever, financial difficulties, when we suffer, we can either get angry at God and run away from Him, or we can cling to Him and try to walk with Him. Yeah, sometimes even when we're clinging to Him, we get angry, because it's like, why is this happening? Why, you know? Well, another thing that helps me too is Jesus on the cross said, why, to God the Father? Why have you abandoned me? So it's not a rare thing to say, why have you abandoned me? But he hasn't abandoned us, and he didn't abandon Jesus on the cross. And so we know that. So if we cling to him, even though we don't feel joyful or anything, there are phases that you have to go through in grief. And so we go through those phases, but we cling to him. We pray the best we can and partake of the sacraments, go to church, be around other believers. Carrie has been such a blessing to us in our group. And she told me today that the group was invaluable to her. So we are there for each other, and that gives us strength, as well as knowing the Word of God, partaking of Holy Eucharist, going to confession and getting ourselves cleaned up. You know, so we cling to the Lord before the traumas and cling to the Lord during. It's like, you know, I love all of the stories in the Bible, in the Gospels, where the disciples are learning to trust Jesus, especially the ones that have to do with boats and storms and fish, because I can relate to them so well. If you put yourself in the picture, you can really relate to it, you know. And, you know, here Jesus is in the boat sleeping, and there's this horrible storm that comes up. Well, you can look at it as, you know, this is a story that really happened with the disciples, and this is how Jesus handled it. You know, they said, don't you care that we're going to drown here? And ad-libbed, of course, by me. And he says, well, where's your faith? Why are you afraid? I'm here with you in the boat, even though you don't think that I'm, you know, present. I'm present right here. And he calms the storm. Well, you can look at that from our perspective. Sometimes we are overwhelmed. We're sinking in life's trials and tribulations and grief sometime. There's so many things that come at us, and it feels like Jesus isn't in the boat. But he is. He promised, and he is. And we can trust that. So cling to him. Know that he's in the boat with us. And you know, just trust it. We want cures. We don't want suffering. We want strength. We want renewal, not loss and suffering. But nonetheless, to be on this pilgrimage, one of the things that we have to face, though, is the fact that, you know, there are things that happen to us that are not, they almost seem random. They're not, but at the same time, they are not caused by us, so to speak. A lot of the pain and suffering in the world is caused by us. Hunger, emotional suffering, unforgiveness, so many things. Theft, murder. So much of that is caused by us. It's not caused by God. It's caused by us doing what we want to do instead of living the way that God wants us to do. Jesus came here to show us the better way. How to love God and how to love our neighbor. And how those two things make the world a better place. And if we all lived it, even if you don't believe in him as the savior of the world and everything, but if we all lived in the grace of following his way, the world would be a very different place, a wonderful place. And I am sure of it. So please give him a chance. Cling to him. When We are on this pilgrimage and we face these difficulties. We can learn from them. We don't just have to endure them. We can learn from them. Really positive, good things can come from the suffering or the challenges, facing those challenges. Or, you know, we learn how to put the Lord first in those situations. You know, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm not God. Help me. You know, we learn how to seek Him first. We can let Him point out the way to go. Lord, give me wisdom, understanding, right judgment, all of these wonderful gifts of the Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, show me the way. Help me. And we can allow Him to heal our boo-boos. We have a lot of boo-boos, even when we're grown, even when we're old. We still have boo-boos. And I'm not talking necessarily about physical boo-boos. We have all kinds of boo-boos. Spiritual, emotional, and sometimes physical. So we need help. We need a physician. Jesus says that He's the great physician. So we ask Him to heal our boo-boos. And when we cling to Him, we realize we're not God. And we need God. And so we ask Him to be our God, be our Lord. And He will be. He will be. He already is. He's just waiting for us to say yes. St. Paul says in Ephesians, I'm not quoting it exact, but blessed be God our Father, who in Jesus Christ has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Given us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. It's already there, folks. We have to seek it, ask for it, want it. Not for selfish reasons, but for a relationship with Jesus Christ. For love of God, to grow in our love of God and our neighbor. Every spiritual blessing in the heavens is available already for us. And so pray for those things. Pray for those things. Be His ambassador. Be His representative. Let His love, ask for it, and let His love fill you so much that you have extreme joy in just being around other people. And the love of Christ fills your heart, and you see their potential and the beauty of each person. Even the toughest can be beautiful to you when you're when Jesus lets you see them through His eyes. Ask for it. Ask for it. Anyway, never let Him go. He does not let you go. So in your grief, hang in there. There's some commercials out now, and at the end of the commercials, they're about Jesus, and they're modern. And at the end, it says, He gets us. He gets us. Well, it's true. He gets us. He understands grief. He understands pain physically and emotionally. He understands all that. He's lived it. And He gave us a way. But His dear friend Lazarus died. And Jesus was so deeply moved and filled with sorrow at the loss of His friend and seeing His Mary and Martha and the other friends and family members suffer so at the loss of Lazarus that He actually cried. He knew He had the power to heal all, fix all, but He felt what we feel. He understood that grief. It touched Him to the heart, and He wept and grieved with all of the people around. He did end up raising Lazarus from the dead because it was for the purposes of drawing people to God the Father, to the way to live, and proof of who Jesus was, the Son of God. But He understands all of that sorrow. He understands our fears, our worries, our lack of trust. But as you go through these things and you get through them with His help, and you know when He's helping, He helps you through others. He helps you through a whispered word, through an encouraging scripture. He helps you in many, many ways. And you know it if you keep your eyes open and you cooperate with it. There are people who don't want any help from anyone. You know, it's kind of sad because you deprive them of being the person that God's calling them to be. God wants us all to love our neighbors. He wants us all to do things out of love for Him, for others. And if we are too proud or too don't want anybody fussing over us, and we don't allow them to do things for us, we're depriving them of the grace and blessing God wants to give them for doing what He's asking them to do. May not have thought of it that way, but you know, that's really what happens there. So let people help you when they can. Accept it as a sweet gift from them and from the Lord. Anyway, we know that Jesus healed Lazarus and brought him back to life, but we cannot ignore Jesus' sorrow and grieving, and His deep understanding of sorrow and grieving. So He understands your pain. He understands the challenges that you're going through. Let Him wrap you in His arms and hold you. Let Our Lady pray for you and put her mantle around you and hold you like a mother holds a child. It may seem foreign to you, but you can do that. Just say, "My Lady, Mother Teresa taught me this. Mary, Mother of Jesus, be a mother to me now. I need a mother, a heavenly mother." And she will. I promise she will. I remember grieving deeply years ago. I won't tell you what I was grieving about, but it was very, very deeply sad. I felt all alone. I knew I wasn't alone because I had the Lord, but as far as people go, I didn't know anyone where I was living. It was a very overwhelmingly sad and grief-filled time for me. And I was crying, and, you know, I was going out the door to work, and I heard the sweet little voice of the Lord say to me that it is fitting and natural for you to grieve, but do not wallow in it. In other words, don't let it get out of hand. With my help, all will be well one day, I promise. So I was like, oh, thank heavens. By crying and grieving, I wasn't distrusting the Lord. I was just doing what was fitting and natural. And with His help, I did not wallow in it and let it overwhelm me. And it was a great grace to have heard that little voice. And I'm saying that to you, because whenever He gives me something, I know I have to share it. So it's fitting and right for you to grieve, to cry, to be very, very sad. But don't let it overwhelm you and wallow in it. Ask the Lord to give you the grace to be strong, to see the good in what you still have, and be grateful for that. We're also told in Scripture, don't grieve like unbelievers, like people who don't have hope. At the Transfiguration, we talked about this a few weeks ago, Jesus appears and Moses and Elijah are with Him. I love that. Not only is an encouragement for what comes, you know, by following Jesus, you know, good and magnificent things, but it also shows us that Moses and Elijah are Moses and Elijah in, you know, in the next world. So that means we will be, I'll be Rita in the next world. Joe Stellabody, Dr. Joe, will be Dr. Joe Stellabody in the next world. Carrie, his wife, we will be ourselves, but in a glorified way. But we'll know each other. We will be reunited. So there's so much joy in just knowing that. Just knowing that. That's why I was saying that, you know, it feels weird to go to a funeral because I have so many mixed emotions. I have such joy that and gratefulness for what Jesus has done for us. He has made it possible for us to be together with our loved ones again someday and to be in the presence of God, full of love and joy and laughter and no more sorrow and pain. You know, it's some people say, oh, that sounds boring. Well, I'm sorry. I'm looking forward to that. And plus, if you read scripture, you'll find out that we're not all just sitting around twiddling our thumbs and saying, this is really wonderful, you know. No, it's going to be a new world, a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to remake this earth and put us back on it, but it won't be the same. It'll be glorified and beautiful, and we'll have fun work to do and things like that. But nonetheless, those who seem dead are truly living, just in a different way. And I want to share a couple of verses with you that have really resounded with me today. Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn. Have you ever thought of that? If you're mourning, you're blessed. Because the Lord is with you in a special way in your mourning, and you will be comforted. Blessed are you that mourn, for you will be comforted. It's a promise. And I know from my own life, it's true. Okay. Another one from Psalms 30, weeping may endure for a night, or in other words, for a time. Weeping may endure for a time, but joy comes in the morning. Joy follows the weeping when we are united with the Lord. It's a wonderful promise. And like I said last week, you can take it to the bank. You can trust it. You can trust Bible scriptures that speak of God's, the promises of God and his attributes. The things he said about himself, the things that David or some of the other prophets or believers throughout history, the things that they have said about him. The Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God is love. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Those kind of promises, those kind of assurances about who God is and what he's like, you can trust. You can trust. And if you give yourself to him and say, I choose to trust in you, help me to trust you, he will show you how trustworthy he truly is. The joy you get from that is immeasurable. Immeasurable. Yeah, I cannot even describe it. But you can trust him. You can trust him. And here's another, Psalms 34. The righteous cry out. The Lord hears, and he rescues them from all their afflictions. Doesn't mean we won't be sad. It doesn't mean that we won't hurt. It doesn't mean that life will be a cupcake. But it says he rescues them. He hears, first of all. We cry out. He hears, and he answers. Okay? And I want to read a scripture to you. Because this is the key. You know, sometimes we haven't been all that we should have been. You know, some of us Christians have strayed. And we've been kind of making God into our own image. We've picked and chosen what we choose to believe about Him. We have dismissed some of His commandments, not realizing that those commandments and those teachings about life are what actually prevents a lot of hardship, sorrow, sadness, and broken relationships, and many, many things. But we can always go to Him in our grief, in our joy, in our sadness, in our sorrow, in our guilt for not being who He has shown us to be, picking and choosing who we want God to be instead of who God has revealed Himself to be in Jesus Christ. You can't improve on Him. You can't improve on Him. He knows. He created us. He knows what's good for us. So I'm going to end tonight with this. It's from Romans 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor present things nor future things nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death nor life, no future or past can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's wonderful to know that we have a hope and a joy that will return in the future if we're grieving. And even in the midst of our grief, even in the midst of a funeral, in the midst of a sad and suffering time, those little tidbits of love and joy come to us. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for your prayers and financial support and helping do something beautiful for God together. Please pray for me. I'm praying for you. And it's been a real joy for me to be here. God bless the Stella Body family. I love you all so much. And may you be comforted in your grief, all of you who are grieving right now. So I'll be with you next Monday. Join me at 5:00 next Monday. And we'll talk about some other things then. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.